Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, April 22nd, and coming up in today's episode. Delhi High Court admonishes Ramdev's Sharbat Jihad marketing ploy for his cold drink. Vice President Dhankar slams Supreme Court again, claiming Parliament is supreme. Meanwhile, government sources distance from this remark. From victim to accused, Air Force officer faces attempt to murder charges in road rage case, and US imposes 3,521% tariff on solar imports in a major blow to some Southeast Asian nations. Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar has once again attacked the power of India's judiciary, further intensifying the ongoing debate over the balance between the legislature and the courts. Speaking at Delhi University, Mr. Dhankar declared that Parliament is supreme and insisted that elected representatives are the ultimate masters of what the Constitution will be and there cannot be any authority over them. Meanwhile, government sources have told NDTV they may not entirely support this sentiment. Top government sources said that respect for judiciary is paramount and that judiciary and legislature are two sides of the same coin. The sources added that legislature and judiciary are working in tandem towards a Vikasit Bharat. The clarification also comes shortly after the Supreme Court red-flagged some of the provisions of the contentious Waqf Amendment Act, which has sparked protests in several parts of the country. Following the red flags, the centre has paused some new provisions in the law. The centre said, according to these sources, that it will address all pending Waqf-related petitions in the Supreme Court through due legal process. Notably, Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar's strong words against the Supreme Court were also acknowledged by the Supreme Court, in fact, by the next incoming CGI, B.R. Gavai, during a hearing yesterday. Coming back to the Vice President's latest attack, his remarks follow a series of recent Supreme Court judgments, which the Vice President believes were not respecting the legislature, it could be. He also said they were invoking Article 142, which allows the court to pass any order necessary to ensure complete justice. Mr. Dhankar, who serves as a chairperson of the Rajya Sabha, described the use of this article as a nuclear missile against democratic forces, suggesting it gives judiciary unchecked power. Defending his past comments, he stated today, quote, "Every word spoken by a constitutional functionary is guided by supreme national interest." He also criticized the judiciary for what he described as inconsistencies in landmark rulings, citing the 1967 Golaknath and 1973 Kesav Nanda Bharti cases, which offered conflicting interpretations on whether the preamble is a part of the constitution. He further questioned the judiciary's role during the emergency imposed by the then Prime Minister Indira Gandhi in 1975. Quote, "The Supreme Court ignored the verdict of 9 high courts and held that fundamental rights could be suspended. That was the darkest phase in democratic history." He added that the electorate held the leadership accountable in 1977 when the Congress government was voted out of power. The Vice President's remarks have drawn criticism from legal and political circles. Congress MP and senior advocate Abhishek Manu Singhvi responded, "The President does not comment on such matters. The Vice President, who holds an equally high constitutional post, should observe the same restraint." Similar criticisms of the judiciary have been coming from BJP leaders such as MP Nishikant Dubey, who claimed that Supreme Court is overstepping its limit and even went as far as to say that Supreme Court was inciting civil wars in the country due to its various judgments. Meanwhile, the judiciary responded with measured confidence. Justice Suryakant noted the institution comes under attack every day, while Justice B.R. Gavai said during a separate hearing, commenting, "When the petitioners demanded that the Supreme Court ask for precedent rule to be imposed in Bengal, quote, as it is, we are facing allegations of encroaching into the executive." The same social media which initially saw Air Force officer Wing Commander Shiladitya Bose as a victim is now calling him a culprit, as he faces serious charges including attempt to murder in a road rage case in Bengaluru. The shift in narrative comes after a new video evidence emerged and the biker involved. Vikas Kumar has filed a counter-complaint against the officer. What started with a viral video showing the officer bleeding and recounting an alleged unprovoked assault has now become a case where both parties are accused of attacking each other. Wing Commander Bose had previously on his online video stated, quote, "A bike came from behind and stopped our car. The guy started abusing me in Kannada. When they saw the DRDO sticker, they said, 'You DRDO people,' and he hit me with a key on my forehead." He also alleged that it was a language-related row. His wife, squadron leader Madhumita Bose, was driving the car at the time, en route to the airport. She later filed a police complaint claiming the biker was driving rashly, almost hit their vehicle and then blocked their path before launching verbal and physical abuse. She alleged the biker shouted, "This is Kannada land, I will see you." However, CCTV footage and mobile recordings captured from the scene have complicated the case. The videos show a physical altercation between the officer and the biker, with both appearing to hit each other, and in one clip, Wing Commander Bose is seen pushing and grabbing Vikas Kumar while his wife tried to intervene. Onlookers eventually step in to separate the two men. Based on Vikas Kumar's police complaint, the Bengaluru police have registered an FIR against Wing Commander Bose under several sections of the new penal code, including attempt to murder, causing voluntary hurt, and intentional insult with intent to provoke breach of peace. Patanjali owner Ramdeep is facing fresh legal trouble after the Delhi High Court strongly criticized his recent comments about the drink Ruhafza, where he made communally charged allegations against what is simply a cold drink. The court was hearing a case filed by Hamdard, the company behind Ruhafza, after Ramdeep made remarks again that the judge described as indefensible and shocking. The controversy started when Ramdeep released a video promoting Patanjali's rose sharbat. Without naming Hamdard directly, he claimed that money from a certain rose sharbat brand was being used to fund mosques and madarsas. Quote, "If you drink that sharbat, mosque and madarsa will be built. But if you drink Patanjali rose sharbat, Gurukuls and Patanjali University will be built." He went on to call it a part of a larger sharbat jihad, comparing to alleged love jihad and alleged vote jihad. Following the backlash, Ramdev insisted he hadn't mentioned any specific band, but Hamdard wasn't convinced and took the matter to court, asking for the video to be taken down. Senior advocate Mukul Rohatgi, representing Hamdard, told the court that issue went beyond product rivalry and had crossed communal territory. He argued that Ramdev's word resembled hate speech and pointed out that Patanjali did not need to attack others to sell its products. Rohatgi also mentioned an earlier case involving Ramdev and misleading advertisements, one he had also been involved in but on Ramdev's side. The case dates back to 2021 when Patanjali launched Coronil during the pandemic. Ramdev called it the first evidence-based medicine for COVID-19 and claimed it had WHO approval. The Indian Medical Association pushed back, calling the claim false and misleading. A year later, Patanjali ran newspaper ads criticizing modern medicine and claimed their products could cure a range of diseases from diabetes to asthma and cancer. The IMA then petitioned the court, accusing Patanjali of spreading false claims. The Supreme Court eventually forced Ramdev and his aide Balakrishna to apologize. Back in the current case, Ramdev's lawyer did not appear in court at first. A substitute lawyer asked for a delay, but Justice Amit Bansal wasn't having it. He warned that a strong order would follow if the main counsel did not show up. Senior advocate Rajiv Nair later appeared and told the court that Ramdev would withdraw the ads. The judge then asked Ramdev to give a written assurance that he would not make similar statements in the future. The matter will be heard again on April 1st. The ongoing tariff war, led by US President Donald Trump, seemed to be going beyond itself each day. In its latest tariff update, the Trump administration in the United States has imposed duties as high as 3,521% on solar imports from Southeast Asian countries. This move follows an extensive investigation by U.S. Department of Commerce, which concluded that manufacturers in Cambodia, Vietnam, Malaysia, and Thailand were benefiting unfairly from Chinese subsidies. These companies, it was alleged, were selling solar cells and panels in the U.S. at artificially low prices, a practice known as dumping. The tariffs, which are a part of a broader trade dispute with China, range from 34.4% to an eye-watering 3,521% for Cambodia, which ceased participating in the investigation. Companies from Vietnam, Thailand, and Malaysia faced tariffs of 395.9%, 375.2%, respectively. This marks a significant escalation in the trade tensions, with the U.S. seeking to protect its domestic industries. These tariffs are on the top of the existing 10% baseline tariff that President Donald Trump has already imposed. The action comes after a year-long probe into claims by American manufacturers. These producers argued that Chinese companies had moved their operations to Southeast Asia to circumvent tariff imposed during terms first Trump back in 2016 to 2020, thus continuing their unfair trade practices. In 2020, the U.S. imported approximately $12.9 billion in solar equipment from these countries affected by the new tariffs, including Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, and Malaysia. With the introduction of these additional levies, the U.S. aims to shield its domestic solar manufacturing sector from the perceived harm caused by these import practices. Tim Brightbill, co-chair of the International Trade Practice at Wiley, described the new tariff as a decisive victory for American manufacturing. He went on to say, quote, "The findings of U.S. probe confirm that what we have known for long. Chinese headquartered solar companies have been cheating the system, undercutting U.S. companies and costing American workers their livelihood." The investigation initiated by the Biden administration followed a petition from the American Alliance for Solar Manufacturing Trade Committee, which represents major companies such as First Solar and Hanwha Qcells. These companies have long sought to challenge the dominance of foreign solar manufacturers in the U.S. market. This tariff move adds to the mounting trade tensions between U.S. and China, which had retaliated by imposing its own tariffs on American goods, a whopping 125%. As these tariffs continue to grow, these tariffs seem to continue to grow. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.